in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in this most holy of days, Good Friday. Actually, probably Good Friday might be a misnomer. It might better be said to be Holy Friday. Good, in Old English, apparently was idiomatic for holy, and thus good became attached to Good Friday. So Holy Friday probably is more fitting than Good Friday. Of course, we could say, not so good for Jesus, but certainly good for us, because this is the day on which he earned for us the redemption of our sins. We begin our service then today with our hymn in 172, O Sacred Head Now Wounded, and we sing stanzas 1 and 2 and 4. Then we continue with our liturgy, we rise after stanza 4, and continue with our liturgy on page 5 of the Lutheran hymn. Unto the Lord. eternity that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, bless you and holy God, Son of God, bless, have mercy upon us, and every sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us to knowledge of thee, and thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe in his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Amen. With steadfast faith in him, that we may not fear the power of any adversaries, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Ghost lives and reigns ever the one true God, world without end. Against me, let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will all wear out So far, the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson is written in St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, beginning at the 14th verse of the 5th chapter. Because Jesus died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So far, the epistle. We now rise to speak the gradual responsibly, and at the conclusion speak the Amen. Behold the Lamb of God,
who takes away the sin of the world.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from helping me?
But I am a worm and not a man. All who see me sneer at me. Commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. The band of evildoers has encompassed me. They divide my garments among them. But you, O Lord, be not far off. Christ has humbled himself and became obedient unto death. The Holy Gospel is written in the 19th chapter of St. John, beginning at the 16th verse. Jesus over to them to be crucified. They took Jesus therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Therefore, this inscription many of the Jews read, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part for every soldier and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. They said therefore to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lot for it to decide whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. But there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, to fulfill the scripture, said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, Jesus said, it is finished. And Jesus bowed his head and gave up the spirit. The Jews, therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man and to the other man who was crucified with him. And coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he who has seen is borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may also believe. For these things came to pass, that the scripture might be fulfilled, not a bone of him shall be broken, and again, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. So far, the Holy Gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Please join me as we now confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed atop page 12 of the fourth part of our hymnal.
I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell, the third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and stood upon the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We now continue with our next hymn, hymn 153, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted.
Thank you.
To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. We hear a portion of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, which was read earlier. And Jesus bowed his head and gave up the Spirit. So far the text. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, for most of us, death will come when it comes. We do not summon it, but it summons up, and I suppose on that basis, the picture of the grim reaper is not too far off the mark. After all, he is coming to collect sin's wage, which of course is nothing less than death. There are those, however, who feel that they can summon death. They are the death with dignity crowd, for example, those who advocate for doctor-assisted suicide. They are the Jack Kevorkians of this world going around peddling a drug cocktail which will put their clients into the hereafter, and that's probably why they called him Dr. Death. But you know, they do not so much summon death on their terms, but unwittingly on his terms. And he is still there, excuse me, to collect sin's wage. But there is one in history who did not meet death on death's terms. Even though this one willingly embraced death, he did so on his terms and not on death's terms. He was willing to step into the darkness of the grave, but was fully aware that the darkness could not overcome him. And even though death would embrace this one, death did not realize that this one would break death's deadly embrace. And of course, the one about whom I am speaking is no one less than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this brings me to the theme of this Good Friday meditation, Jesus' death, a death like no other. And I'll develop that in three parts. First, Jesus' death was real and voluntary. Secondly, his death is the death of death itself. And thirdly, his death means life for us. By 3 o'clock on the afternoon of that first Holy Friday, as I said, good is probably the idiomatic Old English idiom for holy, Jesus gave up his spirit. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In other words, he died. In John's Gospel, John notes that Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And in Luke's Gospel, Luke's words make explicit what is implicit in John's Gospel. Luke records Jesus saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And earlier in John's Gospel, John recorded Jesus' words when he described himself as the Good Shepherd. And Jesus says, "For this reason the Father knows me and I know the Father, because I lay down my life for the sheep. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again." What's common in all of these different accounts? Jesus dies with Scripture, even as he dies according to this Scripture. With Jesus' own words, he is the one who summons death, even though to all outward appearances, it is death who is summoning Jesus. He enters death of his own free will, just as earlier in the Passion, he let himself be bound as a prisoner. As the Church Fathers put it, death did not come to Jesus, but Jesus came to death. Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit, and that emphasizes Jesus' willingness to die and his consciousness of dying. Thus, we also see that Jesus had died only after he had accomplished all things. He says, "It is finished," and immediately before embracing death. All that the Father had sent the Son to do on this earth has been accomplished. But as we'll see in a moment, it even means more than that. But when Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit, it means that he really died. It is not that the Son of God died, but more to the point, it is that God the Son died. And when we put it like that, that God the Son died, that's almost incomprehensible, and we can't really wrap our minds around it. Sometimes we look for rationalizations that will somehow soften the enormity of the statement. God died on Good Friday. You know, Islam teaches that a look-alike took Jesus' place and died on the cross. In a word, non-scriptural nonsense. 5 decades ago, there was a book called The Passover Plot. It held that Jesus has purposely planned his own crucifixion and on the cross took a strong narcotic in order to make it seem like he had died, when in fact he really hadn't died. That scenario, however, is more the product of a vivid imagination than based on historical fact. And about the same time the Passover plot appeared back in 65, the death of God theology was all the rage. But today, I would be willing to bet you that nobody could even say who abdicated the death of God theology, much less what it stood for. But Jesus really did die. God the Son truly died, and he died when he had finished his atoning sacrifice, and in finishing that sacrifice, we see that his death is the death of death itself. Jesus didn't die for himself, but rather Jesus embraced death because it was the payment for our sin. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God tells us what the penalty for sin is. The soul who sins shall die. Unless people think that somehow the God in the Old Testament is different from the God in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us, for the wages of sin is death. And there's no getting around it. Sin is an equal opportunity employer. No need to go to Washington to figure out who's being discriminated against. Sin doesn't discriminate against anyone. The wages, rich or poor, male or female, poor or healthy or sick, or any other category we might think of, the wage of sin is death. And when Jesus tells us on the cross, it is finished, he is saying that everything that needed to be done to pay the debt of sin to God the Father has been fulfilled. And I've spoken of this before. That word, it is finished, it's a phrase in English, but in Greek it's one word, and that's the word that a merchant would write at the bottom of an invoice when the invoice had been paid. In other words, we would say, paid in full. The debt to sin has been paid in full. Jesus did it, and he did it once for all time. And on the cross, Jesus took on our penalty for sin, as Peter tells us. And Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, you are healed. Healed of the awful wage that sin will pay. As the sinless Son of God, God the Son died for us. We who are like sheep, who love to wander and go astray. But in dying for us, Jesus broke sin's payout, which is death. For Paul, that's one of the benefits of baptism. To the Romans, Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." We'll speak about that in the third point a bit more. But it anticipates that while we may experience a temporal death, neither we nor any other believer will experience the second death, which is eternal death. And as he writes to the Romans, Paul tells us why this is as well. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death is no longer master over Christ. For the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Why doesn't death have any power over Jesus? Because in his dying and in his rising again, Jesus is the death of death. Because Jesus went through death to life and continues to live. Death has no power over him. And thus, Jesus' death means life for us. Even before Jesus was born, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, described both God's promise and the hope it would give for all mankind. And thus we read these words, which Luke records in the first chapter of his gospel. Zechariah said, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death." The sunrise on high, who is to visit us, is the one to whom Zechariah's son John the Baptist would say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's Jesus, the sunrise from on high, and he will visit those who sit in the darkness and shadow of death. In his dying a real death, God the Son went through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus, as our good shepherd, went through that valley ahead of us, so that with confidence we can pray with David, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Jesus walks with believers through the valley of the shadow of death into the light of life. Now, death is nothing to joke about, but Jesus willingly died for us and became the death of death itself. He has placed death in a different perspective for all who trust that he indeed did die and rise for them, thereby winning for them the forgiveness of sins. And even though the grave looks like a bottomless abyss of darkness, it is different for those who are in Christ. It is as Paul says, "But when this perishable shall have put on immortality, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Death's sting has been taken away. In the New Testament, the word sting is used a couple of times, and is directly related to the word pierce, for to sting is to pierce. And as we read in our gospel for this morning, on this Holy Friday, we look to John, who looked on this scene as Jesus hung on the cross. And John writes, and again another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they have pierced." Christ was pierced for us, and he was pierced with more than three nails. Each of our sins pierced him. but because Jesus was pierced for us, he takes the final piercing of death away from us. We shall all die. All Christians have to suffer the consequence of Adam's sin. But thanks be to God, on account of Christ, no person will die in his sins. Each Christian dies absolved. And since the Christian is reckoned sinless for the sake of the sinless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, death cannot hold him. On this Holy Friday, we stand in awe of our Savior, because Jesus, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. And because he became sin on our behalf, he paid the price that sin demands. Sin couldn't demand the price from Jesus, but he paid it for us by willingly dying on our behalf. God the Son really did embrace death and really died. But because Jesus embraced death and it could not embrace him, Jesus broke both the power of sin and death, and thus his death means life for each one of us. And as I just said, even though one day each of us will die on account of Adam's sin, we shall not die in our sins. Thus, Jesus calls us to newness of life now, and in the hour of our death, we may confidently pray as he prayed, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Amen. Now, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We now continue with the singing of the offertory on page 12 of the fourth part of the hymnal, and after the offertory, we shall receive the offering. Those who are able, please rise from prayers. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone. But trust, O God, from thee. God the Father, in the mystery of your eternal will, you appointed your Son to be the sacrifice for all sin. You laid the iniquity of us all upon him, that in the gift of his life and the sacrifice of his death, the free forgiveness of sins would be accomplished. Hear our prayers and grant us your peace. In this holy hour of reflection, we remember how great a salvation you prepared for us. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your Son. We thank you for the words of spirit and life that he gave us, for the way he perfectly fulfilled all prophecy and all the demands of your holy law in our place. We thank you for his holy example of patience and suffering, for his willingness to endure the cross, and for his submission to death itself. Grant that we may see the awful results of our own sin when we look upon Calvary, in the darkness that closed around him, with the shaking of the earth and the rending of the rocks. Impress on our hearts how the great evil in our lives made the death of our innocent Savior necessary. But in the tearing of the temple veil and the opening of the graves of the saints, show us our own entrance through the innocent blood of Jesus into the heavenly Holy of Holies. For all that he has done, for all that he has borne, for all that he has given and promised to us, we thank you, dear Father. From the ends of the earth and from the depths of every believing heart, the prayer of gratitude ascends to heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Heavenly Father, on this day of remembrance of our Savior's suffering and death, grant up to us the good news of grace that we need for our salvation. By his death, help us to be fully ready for our own, and in his burial, help us to see that he who brought life and immortality to life for all who believe has made even the grave a holy and temporary place. Dear Lord, since we have now seen your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus, grant us eternal confidence and peace through him who died, but who rose again and always lives and reigns as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Please be seated. I think at one point when we did the Stations of the Cross, we had people rise and sit and rise and sit. And it's probably just as easy if everybody remains seated. We don't have to worry about rising and sitting and sit and sit. And I'll be the only one who stands up. We continue then with the Stations of the Cross, which begins on page 7 of our worship book. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Christ has humbled himself and become obedient to death.
He is dead on the cross.
Mercifully assist us,
Lord, in our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation of those mighty acts, where God you have given us life everlasting, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let us follow the way of the cross.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, Amen.
We now sing a stanza from hymn 140. O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken? We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." After flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. He went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Christ, and we bless you.
By your holy cross, we have redeemed the world.
As the soldiers led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus.
Rejoice in me.
Gracious Lord, as we walk the way of sorrows, it pains us to know that it is our fallenness and sin that crushes Christ under his cross. If by his suffering we are raised up and made whole, strengthen us in our baptismal vows, and forgive us always for the sins that make us fall, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, we are but mortal flesh, and the span of our lives is very brief. Help us to see our frailty and affliction as a sharing in Christ's frailty and affliction, and through that, the path to life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots to see who will get it. Yourselves with humility.
In your dealings with one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you.
Let us pray. Lord God, your Son endured humiliations and indignities beyond compare, yet without complaint. Keep us humble in our work and daily lives with a willingness to put others before ourselves, as Jesus put us before himself, through Christ our Lord. Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
Bless you.
When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then Jesus said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Simeon blessed
and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that in inner hearts and many will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too."
Let us pray. Father of mercies, the sword of grief pierced deep into the heart of Mary as she witnessed her son's passion. As we share in her sorrow by walking the way of sorrows, may we also share in the joy that is to come, the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, Jesus breathed his last. Darkest hour, you permitted him to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, crushing sin and death underfoot. Keep us ever close to his cross and death, now and at the hour of our death, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus is taken down from the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
By your broken cross, you have redeemed the world.
When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, the respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. When Pilate learned from the centurion that he was dead, Pilate granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth. Lord and consoler of all who mourn, comfort us in all our partings, turn the darkness of death into the brightness of day for those we love. Help us always to put our faith in you and entrust our loved ones into your infinite care. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where Jesus was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Says the Lord God.
I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord.
Let us pray. God of hope, you have promised that if we are buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, then we too will rise with him to newness of life. Then he make us ever mindful of our baptism and forgive us our sins for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.